would mark your votes at number 29. Number 29, your song after the last night. I'll see number 297.
I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work in the vineyard of the Lord. Oh Lord, I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker every day. I want to lead the arrogant in the way that makes your hand above where all is peace and love in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work and pray in the vineyard of the Lord. Of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker strong and brave. I want to trust in Jesus' power to save.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you this evening, so thankful for the day that you've blessed us with. Father, we're so thankful for all the many blessings in this life that you've given us. Most of all, Father, as we've talked about tonight, we're so thankful and so grateful for your love. For love that can't be taken away from us by anything here, Father. We're so thankful for that love that would send your only Son to this world to give, to become our sacrifice on the cross, that through Him we can have that hope of something better than what is just this life. Father, we pray that as we come before you, that if there's error in our lives, that we would remove that error from our minds, our thought, that we would cleanse ourselves of it, Father, repent of those things, that we would turn and be obedient to you, Father, in how we live our lives. Father, we're mindful of those that are on the minds and hearts of many here that are dealing with illness and suffering at this time. Father, we pray that you would, if it be your will, that you'd remove those sufferings from them, Father. Father, we're thankful for the elders here. We're thankful, Father, for that we're able to have them, that we pray that you would give them wisdom, grant them wisdom and knowledge in leading the flock here. Father, we're as well mindful of those that preach and teach your word around the world. Many are doing so in very difficult situations at this time, Father. We pray for their encouragement. We pray that you would help us as opportunity arises to be able to give them that aid and that encouragement that so many need, Father, to continue on professing your word before man. Heavenly Father, we pray that you be the one that will deliver a message to us this evening. We pray that you would give him the ready remembrance of those things that he's prepared, and that we will take those truths, Father, and apply them to our lives. Father, we pray that you be with us through the rest of the service and the rest of our lives. Father, we pray for your guidance in all that we do. And we pray, Father, for your help and your strength to stand up against the devil and what he throws at us, Father. And we know we can do all these things through your Son who conquered death for us, Father. And we offer this prayer in his name. Amen.
Matthew 17. Just shortly before this incident here, Jesus had been with his disciples, and he had asked them who people thought he was, and he got those answers, and then he asked them who they thought he was, and Peter proclaimed that he was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And then in the earlier part of chapter 17, he was transfigured before Peter, James, and John, and it's really just exuded his Godship, his spirituality, and how different he is among men as a leader, as a Jew, as a friend of theirs, as anybody they had ever known. He stands out in every way possible. So I want to talk to you just about the last few verses of Matthew 17 when a question is asked of Peter about the tribute money. Now, I'll tell you that, you know, they always say that when you're out talking to people that two things that you should always avoid is discussions about religion and taxes. And I'm about to give you a religious lesson on taxes. So that is maybe a little challenging to take this out somewhere else. But maybe it shares with us some thoughts that Jesus had. I really like this passage, and I wanted to talk about it again with you tonight. So in verse 24, it says, "When they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? He said, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him," or stopped him, held him back, "and he said, What do you think, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" Peter said unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus said unto him, "Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, take up the fish that first cometh up, and when you have opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take, and give unto them from me and thee." So when those asking about the tribute money came, they didn't go straight to Jesus. They went to Peter. And they ask him, "Does your master do this?" There's a lot of suppositions and things that I've read over the years about why they went to Peter and what they exactly were asking and what was the purpose. In almost all cases, they were trying to trap Jesus in some way. One thing I read actually mentioned that maybe this was a little less attacking than some. They were asking kind of what does your master do? If he does, then we can take the tribute money here. It was also not quite as common for them to go into Galilee very often and gather this tribute money. This was the temple tax. This was not Roman tax. This was the temple tax. So they're asking from one Jew to another, "Do you pay? Does your master teach you? And does he personally pay the temple tax?" Well, of course, Peter, thinking, well, Jesus does everything right? And they never saw him as a rebel. That was not the way they interpreted who they were following. I think about Gamaliel in Acts when he's talking about these disciples and everybody's all worried about the effect that they're having. And he brings up those couple of cases of men who had risen before and caused insurrection and had led, whipped up 400 guys to go with them. And they caused some trouble, but they got ran off and they were dead and nothing ever came of it. And Gamaliel said, this obviously was not from God, and so therefore it failed. And then he made the point that if this is from God, then you can't fight God. And so just let it go. It'll either fail, like all the rest of them has, or it's from God and you can't fight it in the first place. Pretty wise. I hope he did something more with that than just have that wise thought. But that was really good judgment on his part in a lot of ways. And it spoke to their confidence to have kept down problems. Well, and here, Peter doesn't see Jesus as a rebel. And most people didn't really wouldn't not have completely defined Jesus that way in the first place. But they have those overtones, especially the leaders, that he is going to undermine everything that they've done. And so they classify him at least among the rebels of the day. And there were lots of who tried to rise up as insurrectionists. You may remember Barabbas. That was actually one of the accusations against him, was that he was in for murder and sedition. Insurrection is what he was leading. So he was also one of those. and Jesus got lumped together with him in the people's minds. So Peter answers, my Lord is not a rebellious Lord. Of course we pay the temple tax. We respect all things Jew. He's the best Jew you know. Of course he pays the temple tax. He didn't ask Jesus one thing about that. He didn't ask Jesus if he had ever paid it before or what had been done. He just answered that, yes, he does. Coming in, Jesus, I don't know if he was privy to that conversation directly as we might think of it, overhearing something, but he knew about it. And so he pulled Peter aside as they were going in and said, hey, let me just mention this to you real quick. So if you think about trying to answer who pays tribute, who is it that pays tribute in these things? Do the kings of the earth ask their children, their family to pay them, or do they get it from other people? Peter doesn't really seem to have to think about that too long. Well, of course, the king wouldn't ask his own children to pay that. Right? It's strangers. That's who does that. Jesus says, so therefore, the children should be free of this. The children should be free of not having to be asked to do this. It comes from others. Whose house is this that they're collecting a tribute for? It's the Lord's house. Who is this? He is the Lord. Does he pay tribute to his own place? Does a king pay tribute for his own family, for himself? No, everybody pays tribute to them for the role that they have. So he plants a seed here for Peter to recognize in another way that he is the Lord. He is the ruler of the temple. He is the ruler of Israel. He is the king, as he will go on and claim in more detail as they go. And without really leaving room for us to hear what Peter thought or how he considered that, Jesus says, but we don't want to stir up a bunch of trouble. We don't want to be perceived the wrong way, so we'll pay it and make them happy with what they did. And Peter, of course, needed to pay along the way. And so he tells him, go do what you normally do. Right? There was nothing special. He didn't have to go out and learn a whole new trade. He just needed to go out and fish. But you remember how he normally fished? Peter and Andrew and James and John with the boat, they usually took a net and cast it into the sea. And they were all about bulk fishing, right? Because they brought that in to sell. That was their livelihood. Jesus says, you go out to the water and you throw in a hook. Well, with the hook, how many do you get at a time? One. You get one. He didn't tell them to go out and get a net and hopefully you'll get 150 and one of them will have something that'll be worth it. No, he said, you throw a hook in and the one fish that gets hooked and comes up will have the money in it. And you go and pay that tax for me and for you. Of course, that final application there, that if Jesus is going to pay the price, he's not the one who should. He should be receiving tribute, not paying tribute. He should be being worshipped, but he's going to be the sacrifice in their worship. He's going to deliver himself to them to be given. And in this small thing, he does the exact same thing. He does the delivering, and he pays the price for the other one. Peter's committed them to it at this point. And Jesus honors that commitment by giving him the means to get it. He didn't go out and get the half shekel that would be required for the temple tax. He got one piece of money, which was a full shekel, and that covered both Jesus and Peter for these things, which is exactly the work that Jesus came to do. To first live it himself and pay the ultimate price, even though he shouldn't have been the one to pay it, and then use that to pay the price for everyone else. And he did that in this small way as an example to Peter. And Peter seems to be the only real audience to this. This was pretty much all for Peter to understand. You can imagine how many times he talked about this and shared it and explained and came to an understanding of it to live by better for himself and help other people to live by it. But all of this was a private conversation with Peter to help him understand what yes had meant and how he could think about what was owed and to whom. You know, in chapter 22 is maybe the more famous passage that we talk about when they were actually questioning, the Jews were, about whether or not Jesus thought that it was reasonable to pay the taxes to Rome. And I'll briefly just mention that. Chapter 22, verse 15. When the Pharisees And then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. So clearly, this incident that's about to happen was for the purpose of catching him, saying the wrong thing that they could use against him. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. And they certainly had been on the receiving end of feeling that way, that he didn't seem, or the way they interpreted it, to have much respect for them. And but this false flattery about that, how much they believed that he was teaching truth. But they question, verse 17, tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Jesus perceived their wickedness, that desire to entangle him rather than to learn anything. And he said, why do you tempt me, you hypocrites? You're not interested in learning anything from me, but I'm going to teach you something anyway. You're hypocrites. Show me the tribute money. What money are you talking about? So they brought him a penny, a day's wage. And he said unto them, whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, well, that's Caesar. They all recognized him. Probably most of these people had never seen Caesar. That's the only image they knew of what he looked like. There was no TV, there was no social media, and they never got out of the country most of the time. Many of them would not have even known him in person. But they recognized, that's Caesar. We're told all the time, that's Caesar. He's on all our money. Who is that image and superscription? That's Caesar. Then he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When thou hast heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way when they had heard these words. So he ended up making the simple application, a simple logical step. If that's whose picture is on it, give it back to him. That's tribute that belongs to him because he put his name on it and he wants it back. And you owe that to him because he stamped it out and made it available to you. But render to God the things that are God's. Where was the image of God? In him? What was he trying to give all of his disciples? Himself? So that they would be looking like Jesus, they would be like Jesus, they would be in him. And where does Jesus deserve to go? Where should he be paid to? Where should anyone have following Jesus be paying tribute to? God. God is... Jesus wanted us to become his disciples so that we would be like him, so that we would look like him. When we look like him, we have his image. We're made in his image. We just needed to come back to an understanding of that. And therefore, what belongs to God has his image on it, should be given to God. So give Caesar his money. That's what he wants. He put his face on that. But give to God what is God's, and that's you and me, made in his image. So whether it was the spiritual tax that they were talking about, Jesus acknowledged he is the one who should be receiving these gifts, not paying these gifts. But he would appease them momentarily to help not to be offensive and cause a stumbling block. To pay that money was easy enough if Peter would just go do what he was told to do. And then he would also be covered by the work of Jesus. And then when Jesus answered about the Roman tax and someone trying to entangle him in these speech, what he might say the wrong way, he just simply said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's. If it's got his image on it, give it to him. That's what he wants and desires. What God wants and desires is what has his image on it. And he made you and me in his image. Those of us who come to a knowledge of Jesus with a passage in Romans 8 we were just talking about tonight have great peace, great hope, great reason to believe that we can and will be saved through Jesus Christ. That's where no condemnation is. That is where all of the salvation and the hope and the happiness and the glory and the immortality is in Christ Jesus. Tonight, if you need to render to God what is God's, giving yourself to him, to rectify your personal life back with God through the forgiveness of sin, whether that's through baptism, to become a Christian, to be like him in his death, burial, and resurrection, or to restate yourself and re-give yourself back and dedicate yourself to the Lord, to whom you owe everything that you are and will be and can be. Then we encourage you to let that be known tonight so we can help you in that work of faith that you want to do, and we'll ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.
All to Jesus I surrender.
God, that I really mean it when I think it. So I really surrender all of what we do. That He surrendered all of us. It's been a good night. Good to be here. Appreciate a lot of the affection that from us, not only did you teach, appreciate a lot of being willing to do that. Appreciate Greg's good words tonight. Appreciate everybody being here and being encouraged with one another as we study the Word of God today.
We had mentioned before, I just want to remind everybody that Elijah and Julian and I will be traveling this weekend. We headed out very early Sunday morning. We're trying to go to North Florida for church services. If we go on the way to Orlando, the building is still there. If the I went right over where we're planning to go. But we'll be gone about 3 or 4 days and probably will not be back to the Wednesday service on Wednesday night. So we'll see everybody next Thursday. He's going on a cruise down to Nassau.
Remember the bills, thank you, prayers, and remind you to remember everybody that's been affected by the weather or anything that needs to be affected by that. I don't know everything that happened with that today, but it was a lot of water damage in areas where we probably don't want to show us. So keep everybody in your prayers, and Lord willing, we'll see everybody on Sunday morning.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity again to study more of your word and how in the spirit that we have your love of Jesus in us that can keep us safe, keep us serving you. We pray that you can help guide us to continue in the spirit and leave our worldly sinful thoughts and life behind and keep looking to you for guidance in that direction. We pray, dear Father, that you can help all the Christians and others in, especially in the Florida and up in the East Coast where the storm is brewing, and help there to be help to the people there where the storm has been spread. We pray that you can guide us now through this life as we go through the days to come back again to worship you this next Sunday, if it's your will. Be with the Biddles in their travels and anyone else that's traveling. Just keep us all safe that we can meet again here, if it's your will, or in heaven. And we pray these things through your Son, Jesus. Amen.